So if Martin Jol going, Bergkamp might get made be Ajax boss.
Welcome to the 53rd edition of the Gooner podcast, recorded in mid-July on the Monday after Arsenal's pre-season friendly victory at Barnet.
No, that was the last one.
No, I know, Steve. It's the same intro, but anyway, I'm reading what he's put in front of me.
Believe it was recorded on a different night.
No, I'm reading.
I like one of those quiz shows where they record them all in the same.
Welcome to the 53rd edition of the Gooner podcast, recorded sometime after Arsenal's pre-season friendly win at Barnet. Unbelievable.
We're pulling the wool over fellow Arsenal fans' eyes. This is disgusting. I'm walking out.
Shortly after, we've completed the transfers of Samir Handanovic for Udinese and Joe Cole from Chelsea. Thanks to our sponsors who are GoonerShirts.com.
GoonerShirts, they are the best.
Come. The online website for your quality unofficial Arsenal t-shirts.
And unofficial sponsors,
Hampstead Village Voice.
The Hampstead Village Voice, available from all good NW1 news agents, is that correct?
NW3 and Waterstones.
Oh, nice.
And it's very Arsenal friendly, because the Ham and High is all Tottenham and we're Arsenal, so fuck off Ham and High.
Have Gooner Shirts bought any new kind of designs recently, David, do you know?
I don't know. Kev, any new t-shirts on the website? Have we got a Chamac Attack one yet?
In the pipe.
There's a Chamac Attack one and something about Lauren Koscielny and Cod's lettuce, I'm sure. I'm your host, David Udo, stepping in for the temporarily absent Joe Broadfoot, and here to bring you the remainder of the panel chat recorded at the same time as our previous edition. Potentially, but not necessarily. So continuing on are our reconvened original Gooner podcast panel, Gooner regular Steve Ashford, a.k.a. the Highbury Spy, Mark Ollington, and Don Sebastiano.
So hello.
Maybe so much better than last week.
Monkeys with tools. Seriously, it's like watching a bunch of retards trying to fuck a doorknob. Right, okay.
Hang on, is that politically incorrect? So having a go, you can't go at retards like that.
Sorry, watching a bunch of Tottenham fans trying to fuck a doorknob. Ooh. Right, okay. Transfers. Basti, why do you think we haven't signed a new goalkeeper yet?
Because we're really shit at defences at the moment, and goalkeepers, because I think Arsene Wenger really likes to get all creative and midfield, and actually our attacks aren't that strong either, but he likes midfield stuff and nice little triangles all over the pitch. He likes that, but he's...
That's a very good Alan Hansen.
What you got to say?
You're nothing but kids.
Little triangles all over the pitch.
You need that.
Woeful bit of defending, if ever I've seen it. And not only that, that's Steve Ashford. He's a twat. But it's the little triangles all over the pitch. That's all I can say, but I do it quite well. Wenger's just... I think he hasn't got a clue. I want George Graham to do the defence and the keeping bit. Wenger to do the rest.
Why George Graham? It's not as though you've seen him any time recently, is it?
Well, as a matter of fact, George bought me a cappuccino and a croissant.
Outside a cafe in Hampstead.
Nero, yes, Cafe Nero. And we had a long chat and we basically did the obituary of last season together. And he thinks, I don't know whether I should
betray his trust,
all the things he said, but we were agreed on most things, but where it went wrong with Arsenal last season, West Brom, all that, this ridiculously bad managerial decisions, it has to be said.
Did he have the same thoughts that most of us Arsene dissenters have with regards to our performance last season?
He said, and this is, I quote George, you won't mind me saying this, that Arsene Wenger is the best manager Arsenal have ever had. Although,
apart from him, of course.
No, he included himself in that one, and which I thought was quite humble of him. He said he's the best manager I've ever had. And I can't do George. I'm not that good at Scottish. But he said he thinks it might be kind of time to hang up the boots for Arsenal. He thinks that all managers have a sort of phase of being really great, and then there's a time where maybe it's better for them to step down. Ferguson doesn't seem to think that way for some reason.
Well, Ferguson keeps winning trophies.
Ferguson is the exception to the rule. How often is it a manager stays 15 years at one club? Very, very rare.
Yeah.
And next year, I think, is Wenger's 15th season. And to answer David's question, why have we not signed a keeper? It's because Wenger doesn't see a keeper as being... fundamental to a team's success. Yeah, everyone else does, but he doesn't.
Yeah, Peter Hillwood has come out himself and said we made a bid for Mark Schwarzer, waiting to hear from it. It's widely established we're interested in
bloody
the market.
Fucking doobie doo fan whatever.
Yeah, here we are 6-7 weeks later and still no new goalkeeper at the club. Mark, what's the problem? Why no new goalkeeper yet?
Before I answer that, my question to Basti is, did George Graham have one of those Cafe Nero cards you get the little stamps on to get
no,
six coffees?
Because
you get
I went
one.
And got, he gave me the money and I went up and queued for him.
Did you? I got your own cards.
He said, no, it's all right, I'll get it. And he sat down and I went, oh, but you don't mind getting it. So I went and got them.
Hang on,
but
you,
I got a croissant as well and he had a cappuccino.
Did you get one? Do you have one of those cards with the stamps?
I do. And I definitely put the coffees on it. I'm very much what you might call a Nero stamp sort of bloke.
He had one of those cappuccino monkeys with him.
Eh?
Those cappuccino monkeys.
What are they?
Those little cappuccino monkeys that people have on their shoulders.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think you need some mental help.
How the mighty
Steve's got... That the spy has mental issues.
What's the question, Dave?
Why is there no new goalkeeper at the Emirates yet?
Because haven't we put some bids in for quite a few of them, all been turned down and rejected? The name... Eduardo... not the striker, the other two.
Samir Handanovic from Udinese, the Slovakian goalkeeper from the World Cup.
What's that really good keeper that's apparently there if you want to buy him? You know the fella? Is he French?
Sebastian Fry.
Slow Loris.
Him. Which one is it? It's a keeper. It's meant to be, I know very little about international football.
Sebastian Fry is the one we're linked with every single summer, as Ars Blog will testify to.
What are we buying him?
Well, I'll tell you what, he might be on the market because Fiorentina have just bought Artur Boric from Celtic, which would suggest he's going to be their first choice goalkeeper.
Apparently, Jimmy Rimmer's available again.
Jimmy Rimmer.
Remember Jimmy Rimmer?
You all know what's going to happen.
In today's Evening Standard, listen to this. Redknapp, which is Tottenham's manager, that wanker, back in for Croatian number one.
Oh, terrific goalie.
Is it?
Terrific.
But why can't we buy him?
Yeah, but the thing is, because people are going to be eating fish and chips off that tomorrow.
Because Spurs have got that dude from Chelsea used to be there, Kulusevski, if he's ever fit again.
You said they've Spurs in the sort of way that Spurs fans say it, because of respect and recognition. Don't you mean scum?
No, do you know what? They've got good players at the moment in Tottenham, and it's starting to worry me a little bit, if I'm quite honest. Yeah.
And me.
If they buy this dude, I've never heard of him. I've no idea who he is whatsoever.
Stipe Pleticosa.
But I would rather have, without ever seeing him, without watching him, without knowing anything about this twat, I'd rather have Croatian number one, Pleticosa, than Manuel Almunia or Fabianski.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I've never seen this guy, but I bet he's better than them.
Absolutely.
So why can't we buy
and
this
why chat? Is it always top secret? Why is it when anyone ever says to us something, any journalist, anyone, Arsene, are you in the market for a keeper or a centre-half?
Well,
we are always looking... You've been looking for 5 years. Fucking get your checkbook out.
We are looking.
We're never going to
keeping scouts on the floor.
I bet you any money you like, you'll get to August the 31st, and you know someone will say to him, you know, are you happy with your keepers, Arsene? You didn't sign one. He'll say, I could not find one available within my price range.
I've got a question. Is
there were no keepers available? That'll be
off awful. The keepers thing. Quickly, is my £20, which every year I manage to double with a certain Tottenham fan. Does everyone think that's safe? My £20 that
we finish off the Tottenham. That's later in the podcast.
Oh, right.
Later in the podcast.
You've come too early, Basti, once again.
Premature ejaculation walker, they call him.
So, from players in and players out. And as of today, it looks almost certain that Eduardo, Arsenal's number 9, will be leaving these shores for the Ukrainian club Shakhtar Donetsk in a £6.5 million deal after he was absent from the Barnet friendly, however long ago that was now. As was Manuel Almunia, who is rumoured to be going to Atletico Madrid to be first reserved to the wonderfully named Daniel De Gea.
So we must have some sort of goalkeeper standing.
Can I answer this one? Of course
I haven't asked a question yet.
Of course
I haven't asked a question.
Get over there. The listeners are not pleased with this. What's the question?
I've nipped in early to win £1,000.
The question is what Joe Broadfoot would be straight in with a question.
What's the question?
But of course,
we need to sell players.
Get on with it.
We've just spent £8 million on a centre half. We need to recoup it.
Shut up.
The question was, what are your thoughts on Eduardo and Almunia leaving? Basti.
Bye-bye, Eduardo. Promised much, delivered little. Almunia, to be honest with you, I thought a good number 2 goalkeeper, but not number 1. And they go with Galas and Silvestre, get rid of the Deadwood, if we can replace them with something a bit, you know.
Oh, Collington, you're a voice of dissent, I note, made with regard to our Croatian centre-forward.
Yeah, because people say, oh, when he got injured, that was the end of, like, you know, a brilliant career.
Day the Music died.
I remember in his first half a season that he was there. He didn't score that many goals, did he? He looked a nifty player, but he was never brilliant.
He sort of found his groove around about November, December time, and him and Adebayor seemed to be working well together. Woeful.
But he never proved himself, did he? He never.
No, not truly. No. Not sure, he never really got into his flow.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, as football people like to say.
In fact, as it happens, if you look at the records, he played well with Adebayor, and Adebayor played well with him. Neither player actually looked as good when they weren't playing with each other. Adebayor had his purpose spell with Eduardo, and Eduardo had his purpose. They were a pair. They were a team.
They liked to play
with
each
other.
Unlike Bentner and Van Persie,
the best destination for Eduardo would be Man City, so they could pair up with Adebayor again,
and they could touch him once
again. There are pairs.
So, David, to answer your question, no. He might have been a brilliant player, but the injury meant that was never going to be the case. Never looked the same player ever since. So, no, goodbye. £6.5 million. Good bargain. Nice.
Steve, is that the end of the player exodus from Arsenal Football Club, or is anyone else set to go?
I sincerely hope not.
And which players in particular? Which English right-wingers in particular?
Which English right-wingers and Brazilian players that never make the Brazilian squad?
I maintain that...
They've never played a forward pass in their life. Are we thinking of?
Given the choice between losing Danielson and Walcott, I would definitely want to lose Danielson.
You've got to lose Danielson.
Danielson, he cannot complete a pass. He's just not there. He's not going to come.
Danielson is Brazilian in the sense that he is a cunt with neatly trimmed hair.
No, that's unfair. He's a nice chap. The thing is, when he's 40 or 50, he'll still be a little boy. And he shouldn't be, you know, the thing is, he's just not grown up.
Do you know what?
A footballer.
I mean, we've got a reputation for never signing players. And my God, we never sign any players. But it wouldn't bother me one little bit if we sold Danielson and Walcott and didn't replace them.
Because that's how I thought about Gallas and Silvestre, actually.
I truly believe that there are better players than those two in the youth team that would come forward.
Have you only come to see a Bury? He's only come to see a Bury, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. Emmanuel Abue. Emmanuel Abue.
You see? Now, when did anyone sing that about Danielson? When did Danielson
sing that?
Has anyone ever
booed Danielson off like Aboué got booed. Has anyone ever had a game as bad as that game Aboué had? Because that was...
Yeah. Aboué was so bad that day. I thought he was a spy.
Essentially, we are carrying Deadwood. Deadwood is still there.
Out with the dead woods.
Also on the subject of rather sad exoduses, in the news last week was...
Movement of your people. Yeah, mum.
That's...
All right. Roots.
Thierry Henry has obviously just completed a transfer to sign on a long-term contract for an undisclosed fee at the New York Red Bulls. Steve, is that a waste?
I don't know. Is it a waste? I love Thierry Henry. I'd have him back here. In as much as we've got Eduardo and Walcott and they've got Henry, it's a waste. Because I'd much rather have Henry than either of those two players.
Would you have taken him back this summer, Basti?
I think, but coming back to Arsenal, maybe. But to be honest with you, I think Henry's career ended when he left Arsenal, the year before he left Arsenal.
He ended with his marriage, sadly.
I think it ended when I was standing in that fucking stadium in Paris and he ran up and that second goal had to go in and it didn't. At that point, was the end of Henri. And I still cannot fucking sleep at night.
That was a bad miss.
That was a bad moment.
But blessed, Thierry Henry is god of Arsenal, isn't he? He's king of Arsenal, let's be fair.
And that Champions League trophy won last
week. We've got Dennis Bergkamp. I'm a Bergkamp man through and through. I mean, Henry's great, but don't forget when he joined Henry, he was really miserable.
No, I disagree.
He's a great player. Look, Henry's great, but I think his career at top level's over.
Which player that's ever left Arsenal, in every TV interview he ever does, has to get in the fact that he's an Arsenal fan? I think we should just
Ian Wright.
Put him up there forever.
He does Palace half the time. Yeah. If you speak to Ian Wright, he's changes clubs all the time.
Dixon always says we when he refers to us.
He's up there as well.
Henri, in his first interview as a New York Red Bulls player, was asked about how he felt about his first fixture, which is a friendly against Tottenham on Saturday, to which his response was along the lines of, I'm not even going to say the name of the opposition. That's how much of an Arsenal fan
and
I am.
And he actually started in that interview by, he corrected himself. Obviously, it was his first interview as a Red Bulls player, and he actually said, he nearly said, I am an Arsenal fan. And he thought better of it on his interview as a Red Bull.
And he said,
I am an I can't even mention. But, I mean, bless him, he's just
But he did also say that he really wanted Cesc to stay at Arsenal. And he did actually say, as an Arsenal fan, of course I'd like Cesc to stay at Arsenal.
And he also said, you know, when I finish my career at Red Bull, I'm going to go back to Arsenal in some capacity.
Actually,
well, good luck, mate. Because no one else has.
On that note, Mark.
Yes.
How would you have Thierry Henry back in the future? You said he'd come back as a water boy, as he have to. But would you have him back? Bearing in mind he's 32 and hasn't even begun to consider taking any coaching badges.
I would say yes, because I don't think...
In what capacity?
Looking after the kids. Imagine the inspiration you would give to the youth there, having a world-class striker in your ranks. But going back to your original point, David, about is he wasted there at the MLS? As someone that went to watch a few games over there in the States.
Absolutely, a former LA correspondent.
Exactly. Even though the standard's not massively brilliant, it's no worse than Championship over here. And the fact you've got players like Landon Donovan playing there, and you know, and the USA were equally as good as England, if not better, in the World Cup, proves that league can't be that bad, can it?
No,
half the players actually play in that league that play for the States. And so, you know,
Landon Donovan, what a miserable git, isn't he? He is the most fucking miserable player I've ever come across in 40 years.
This is podcast 53. This is a lot away from the World Cup, this one.
What a miserable fucking...
This is a few weeks ahead now. No one's going to be talking
Donovan,
about the World Cup.
If you're
Cup.
Listening, get a personality.
But decent player, though, isn't he?
Yeah, decent
Would
player.
Would you like the signing of him?
Yeah, I'll have him. You'd have to change your personality.
No yanks at Arsenal. Look what happened to him.
He's now a scout, isn't he, at the club? He's our US scout.
Danny Corbassian
scored the kind of
any more questions, please, Quizmaster?
Oh, crikey! Do you want one on sport? I've got plenty. Here's one for you. The fixture list has obviously come out, and we've got an interesting start of the season away at Liverpool, and our traditional end of season fixture away at Fulham. Our panel have a copy of the fixture list in front of them. Although Steve appears to be reading the instructions for the recorder we're using.
I wonder what that was doing there.
Dusty, any fixtures that jump out at you? What are your thoughts and reactions?
What I always do is I always look, obviously, at the beginning at the end and then get to the middle bit somewhere later. It's like how I eat a strawberry cake, really. I would say the run-in's dodgy because we've got Man United at home, which is always, obviously, a bit... And then Stoke away, you know...
Don't
like it up at Stoke. Villa at home, Villa 0-0, you know, possibly... And then Fulham. But having said that, because of the kit we've got, a proper Arsenal kit.
Red with white sleeves.
And if rumours that have it are true, that the clock is going back up the clock end and there's all this North Bank Stadium stuff
we'll come
going on.
Come on to this later, absolutely.
Well, and if this is all true... I nearly came prematurely and answered a question towards the end that I wouldn't answer. But I'm feeling quite optimistic.
Mark, anything on the fixture list jumping out at you? How about the fact that we've got to play away the weekend after five of our six Champions League group?
That was the point I was going to raise.
Oh, you're joking.
Frankly,
is what Phil Collins was talking about when he wrote Two Hearts Living in Just One Mind.
That's what he thought about when he wrote, She's got me down to my knees.
Wait a minute. We've got people on the panel who listen to Phil Collins. Right, I'm leaving.
Leave.
No, Bastard, don't go. Oh, we got Kevin. Kevin is Vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Are you going to say he's a great songwriter next?
Phil Collins, God, he wasn't even the best drummer in Genesis.
Thank you.
But it is a warm night, so if you are going,
I'll let you off.
No jacket required. But anyway.
Hey, Mark, you can't hurry enough.
You're Sue. Pseudo
Arsenal. Anyway, right, against all odds, seriously, how are Arsenal going to do? Bearing in mind they've got to play five of their six champion games after Champions League games.
Steve, did you just touch my leg?
No.
You've got an invisible touch.
No.
The Highbury Spy has just come out. He's come out. No. The Highbury Spy, if Mrs. Highbury Spy is listening, you know where he is on Monday nights.
He's an easy lover. We've got invisible touch, the easy lover.
Can we talk about Arsenal, please?
So, Mark,
5 away matches. That is going to
be... Alex Ferguson will be throwing a screaming shit fit about this away match.
After Champions League. Seriously, look at this bad boy. Match day one. Steve, you touched my heart. He's got a stick in it.
Match day one.
So that's fine. Sunderland at home. So we can deal with that. Right, match day two. Chelsea at home. That's tough, isn't it? Match day three.
And Chelsea at home?
No, away. So yeah, there match day one. Sunderland away. That's a tough game.
West Bromwich Albion.
Match day two. Chelsea away after match day two.
Ooh.
Match day three. Man City away.
In that way,
they're not even easy away games.
Match day five. Villa away. Match day six, Man United away. We stand fucking chance of anything. This could not be worse, David.
Fucking hell. Steve, your thoughts on the fixture list?
That's bad, mate, isn't it?
My thoughts on the fixture list?
What's your thoughts for that, Steve? That's terrible.
Well, the Champions League ones?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, but look on the bright side. After the semi-final, which we will get into, we got West Ham United away. And then after the semi-final two, there's the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, we're being
my answer to that Champions League question was we should have a squad big enough to cope with it.
But we haven't.
End of. My main problem with the fixture list is the international breaks yet again.
Oh.
September, October, all over the bloody place.
Hate them. There's an international break before the season's even started. I know. FIFA have outdone themselves.
And why is there no midweek game after the first match of the season? Why have you got to go a whole week with glorious weather, no match? Absolutely. Probably because of the Carling bloody cup or something.
Do you know what? You're right, Steve. There's not one midweek game in August. No. I love that when it's still light.
Absolutely.
You go to a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's only at the very end of the night start to come on.
If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have discovered Arsenal. I discovered Arsenal on a Tuesday night home game.
I was looking for the tube. I was at Leicester. Balmy evening,
lovely floodlights on, green pitch, gorgeous.
Some of our younger listeners will remember Wenger's first double winning season.
Yeah.
I think our first home match was Coventry.
Yeah.
It was, what you know, home match on the Wednesday night. Beautiful hot summer's night. Yeah. 1-2-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of game that gets you starting off for the MCs.
Oh, absolutely. Gotcha, yeah. I tell you what, though, the fuckers aren't slow in giving us loads of freezing cold January games, are they?
No, look, and look December, at this. There's shitloads of them.
Well, yeah, it's only Tottenham Hotspurs away February 26th.
That'll be a nice cold day up in the Cup of Seven Sisters,
won't it?
8 games in November speaks for itself.
8 games in November?
Yeah. The minute it starts getting freezing
cold,
on
purpose. Pouring
rain, 8 games.
Jesus,
August, wept. 3 of them. You know,
can we all just have a rousing call spontaneously? We're out on them.
Let's have a spontaneous round of we hate international football. Thank you.
To the tune of Sex on Fire by the Kings of Leon.
He's quite good there.
Has anybody else not give a fuck about the World Cup?
We've done the World Cup. Well, we'll go on to that in a minute. Mark, what fixtures are you looking forward to the most and least?
It's a very, very obvious thing to say. I don't go to very many games, you know, that aren't at home, but Blackpool has to be done, I think. Having said that, though, isn't it in January or something?
I was going to say, when's our Blackpool away game? Everyone wanted that on the August bank holiday weekend.
Blackpool away is where?
Where is Blackpool away?
We're not playing them away.
At the very end.
We're only playing them at home twice.
April.
You're joking.
Yeah.
April the 9th. We're all going to Blackpool. We're all going to Blackpool. La 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 la. Ooh. La 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 la. Ooh. We're all going to Blackpool.
Kev's playing.
Shemang.
In fact, the podcast in April will be live from Blackpool.
Live from the Blackpool. A live
from the Blackpool tower.
Live podcast, Kev. Surely.
Come on, Kev.
12 o'clock on the day of the game. 12 to 1.
All expenses paid.
There is a plan I had this evening. All right, which is the next podcast?
Yeah,
to do it in Highbury, in the middle of the old Highbury, in the garden. All right,
can we break in?
We're just going to walk in.
Anyone can walk into that thing.
Oh.
Blackpool, don't rule it out.
Hey!
That's a yes, ladies and gentlemen. That's
a yes. We are live from Blackpool.
Mike Francis has just spat into his hobnob. Seriously, that's gone straight into the tea. Basti, what fixtures are you looking forward to the most and the least?
I never look forward to anyone that I think we're going to lose.
So it's Chelsea away on my 30th birthday, 3rd of October.
Nah, we'll do them. They're shit.
I hope so. I want a good 30th.
Now we're going to have a Nigel Winterburn moment. I think it's going to fly a roof at a Chelsea net. Oh, I hate them. And by the way, I am actually looking forward to, I know it's a bit of an obvious one, but Blackpool at home, A, because it's the first match of the season.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking forward to hopefully having a clock up the clock end.
Absolutely. Yeah, a clock.
And I'm looking forward to, I'm also looking forward to sitting in the lower west stand and
as it will
going,
be.
Or hopefully up the North Bank. If I could get a ticket for the North Bank, I'll be very happy. If I can stand in the North Bank singing, "We're the North Bank," and then have the clock up the other end and see those little red, white, little men in red and white running around, I'll be very, very happy indeed.
Do you think we're going to get like a renaissance of "We're the Clock"?
Absolutely.
"We're the North Bank, we're the North Bank."
I was nothing but a child when they took my heart away. Now I stand in single file underneath a grey cloud.
Woo!
There you go, that's what you get.
Oh, well, available for birthdays, weddings and bar mitzvahs, ladies and gentlemen. Classy locker.
Why do you hit the book?
I have watched them all my life. There's all men in red and white.
Hey, Basti, what about your top hit, Mr. Birdcant, on that everyone likes?
I've forgotten the chords.
Oh, that's my favourite song of yours.
Quite
good, yeah, it's quite a good name. Actually, that's a nice segue to go on to a point. Basti's tried that a couple of times. And moving upstairs into the boardroom now, and our CEO, the wonderful Ivan Gazidis, his Arsenalisation project is appearing to show signs of fruition with the clock coming back into the ground. The pictures you may or may not have seen on the internet recently of the clock being erected on the halfway line are, of course, complete bollocks. It's being erected above the south stand, as the clock end should be.
Is it going to be called the South Stand?
No, as of today, Arsenal Football Club have announced on Pravda.com that the four ends are going to be renamed as the North Bank, the Clock End, the West Stand and the East Stand.
And Basti, did you not know that already?
No, but it's been confirmed, I wasn't
sure. Confirmed today on Arsenal.com.
Yes! Arsenal! Come on.
Am I correct in saying that that's going to help lift people's spirits?
Do I detect in your reference to the wonderful Ivan Gazidis that you're not particularly happy with the role that he's playing then?
Ivan Gazidis!
Ivan Gazidis came out and boasted when he was named Arsenal CEO that I've negotiated more transfers in the world than anyone. Well, in that case, Ivan, you've come to the wrong fucking club, because we don't do any.
Absolutely. Well said, that man.
It's a square, round
home. When did he come to the club?
Oh, 2 years ago.
Okay, how long have we been in the new stadium?
Five years.
Right, and he's bringing back the North Bank. We're the North Bank. Good for Ivan's my man. He's getting the clock back.
Is it Martin?
Arsenalisation.
Did they choose to release all this old stuff about Arsenalisation, the clock, the West End, the North Bank, when Liverpool are signing Joe Cole?
Yeah.
And we've yet again missed out on another.
No, I'll tell you what, signing 15 world-class players.
For all these bollocks.
Were you there at the Parken Stadium?
We were the 5,000 fans every week.
The 12th man is back.
We
Arsenal are back.
This
is it.
So you're back.
You are going to be playing because you are part of the big monster that is the Arsenal fans that are going to go rising. Highbury, not likely, mate. We're going fucking mental this season.
So, Basti, you really think those fans that come in 10 minutes after the game started, leave 10 minutes before the game's end, are all going to change? It's now called the North
Bank. They're going to get their fucking heads kicked in. They're going home in an Arsenal ambulance.
Listeners, you wouldn't think you'd be drinking orange juice all night, would you?
Mark, on the subject of those people who come in 10 minutes late, leave for a hot dog 5 minutes before half time, get in for the second half 10 minutes after it's kicked off, and then fuck off early. Are they going to be people who are going to bring vuvuzelas into the stadium with them? Do you think they will be allowed into the ground? And what do you think about the prospect of Vuvuzela Nation?
Anything for some atmosphere. As Russ Abbott said, I love an atmosphere. I want a happy party with an atmosphere.
What about just singing? That was a fucking vuvuzela. Come off it.
Mate, I agree with you, but our fans don't sing.
Well, they will now, when they've got something to sing about. The little men in red and white are back, mate.
Signing some players.
And 12,000, is it true, 12,000 fans didn't renew season tickets this season? My brother was 12,500 on the waiting list and got a season ticket.
Happened with me last year. I was 14,500. Suddenly became number one like that. Sadly, I've renewed this year because I'm a mug, but there we go.
So they reckon 33,000 fans, season ticket holders, renewed their season ticket.
Bullshit.
And Traktor production has gone up 400%.
That's it, I heard that one.
I will just interject as a matter of fact. It's 1,500 season ticket holders.
Officially.
Gave up their seats.
So why can it get so why?
Because they're offering season tickets to people who are saying, well, actually, I don't want it after all.
The season ticket waiting list, it eradicates and eradicates. Yeah, weirdly, am I correct in saying club level sold out?
No.
No, there we go. That's fine. On the subject of staying upstairs, Arsene Wenger's annual Q&A event for Arsenal shareholders was not held in May. Basti, do you think that this shows a complete contempt for the opinion of Arsenal supporters?
Well, God, why do you ask me that one? I don't know anything.
Steve,
about
do
that.
You think?
I just go and watch a football team. I don't care
this
about that
the
politics.
This is the manager that's got 1 year left on his contract, and so far the board have shown no sign of giving him a new one or offering him a new one. I think that, you know, lovely old Ivan, Uncle Ivan, some of those board members, and, you know, if we've got a board, whoever they are,
a disparate
board from, you know, opposite sides of the globe, wherever they are, that never see any Arsenal games. I mean, I actually think... What was the question?
It's a really shit question.
I put me prompt sheet.
No one wants to know answer that question.
Arsene Wenger's annual Q&A event for Arsenal shareholders was not held. Do you think this shows contempt for the opinions of supporters?
Yeah, it does. Because Arsene Wenger knows...
Who cares? Ask the people who do a podcast.
Who cares what the supporters think?
There is a quorum of opinion amongst the fans. You know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. You know... 99-100% of the fans were behind him. Now he knows that only 40-50% of the fans are behind him, and he knows that he's going to get criticism at those things like he did last year. So rather than go there, face the flack, you know, and answer to the critics.
Yeah, why bother? What would you do?
I know. Yeah. No, he's the manager. You should be doing those things.
You're Arsene Wenger.
You can't bury your head in the sand.
You can't.
You should go there. And if someone says to him, you know, I think you're signing too many old men. He's got to defend himself.
But surely Ivan Gazidis, as his line manager, should. Yeah. Make him say no, Arsene. No, you stand there. You take the fact these people in a credit crunch are paying 12 under a coalition government are paying 12 and £1,300 to renew their season ticket, and you are failing to deliver trophies.
Good point, in reality, Arsene Wenger is Gazidis' boss.
Oh, now that's a horse of different.
I think could it be because personally, if I was there, the one question I'd ask Arsene Wenger is why the hell didn't he bring on Robin van Persie with 20 minutes to go? Was it West Brom?
Is he the one in the 2-2?
No, when it all went horribly wrong, we're 2-0 up and we ended up losing.
Wigan!
What the hell was all that about? What sort of managerial decision was that?
So why shouldn't Arsene Wenger have to go in front of the fans and defend that?
I would agree with you, Steve, for one thing.
Yeah.
Kevin Whitcher made such a fool of himself last year.
Yeah. No, it was
Wigan, it wasn't even West Brom.
It's Adam Velasco.
Anyone?
Actually, that's an interesting point. I remember an article appearing on the online Gooner. Shortly after the Wigan game.
Was that by Kevin?
No, it was some guy who had the temerity to go up to Pat Rice and say that was unacceptable today, Pat, who said, yes, I agree with you, and then got on the train because it was during the ash cloud, so the team couldn't fly from Manchester. Had to get the train with the proletariat. Had to get the train with the Serbs. Of course,
Dennis Bergkamp on it, because he didn't fly.
I think he was in Holland, where it's very low language, smoking a pancake, blunt on a bagel. But someone out, the same guy caught sight of Arsene Wenger and shouted, "Arsene, that was unacceptable today." Wenger, of course, you know, having a reputation for not seeing incidents, did not hear the criticism. The guy who shouted this was accosted not by a member of the Manchester Constabulary, but a part of the accompanying London Metropolitan Force. Asked him for copy of his identification and season ticket, which the guy said. So, you know, copy your personal identification season ticket, what for? And he said, you've got no right to abuse Arsene Wenger. Did anyone remember Arsene Wenger being elected to the nobility? But yeah, this guy, you know, resisted.
Did he abuse him?
No, it shouted that's unacceptable or something, you know, foul or abusive language.
Well, I'd tell the policeman to get him in with the real world and mind his own bloody business.
I think ultimately that was what came of it, but I understand his membership number has been fed into the club.
These social climbing policemen on trains, you know, come on. He was hoping it might get a picture of him walking the guy away or something.
It's a good job they don't know my membership number. That's all I can say.
It's a good job I don't have a membership. I'll just get Kev to get me a ticket. Kev, you got me a ticket?
It's a good job they don't listen to the Gooner podcast. Otherwise, we'd all be in the shit.
Never belonged to a club that would have you as a member.
That was in the podcast we did 3 weeks ago.
I know. I just say it every week now.
Time for a little bit of nostalgia.
A catchphrase, isn't they, Basti? Good to have a catchphrase.
Tesco club card?
Every little helps. Time for a bit of nostalgia now. We're still kind of in World Cup mode, so I'm going to throw out a World Cup year, and you need to tell me at the end of that World Cup which players played for Arsenal the following season. For example, the end of the 1986 World Cup, we then had Kenny Sansom, Viv Anson, Charlie Nicholas at the club. After the 1990 World Cup, how many people from that World Cup featured for Arsenal the following season? I'll give you a clue: 2.5.
Dennis Bjorkamp.
Not 1990. God, no.
Who's the half?
David Seaman, because he went out there with the England team, but went home and got replaced by Dave Besant.
David Platt?
Nope.
He played 5 years ago for Arsenal.
1990,
yeah. At the end of the 1990 World Cup, the following season,
there were
two players from that World Cup playing for Arsenal.
Lippard
is one. Everyone must remember this. Paddy Bonner makes the save. Who's stepping up the table?
David O'Leary.
I was at that match. Surrounded by Ireland fans.
In
Genoa. I was there wearing my Arsenal shirt. I've got a good story here. I was wearing my 1971 away kit, the yellow kit. And I was surrounded by all these Man United supporting Irish fans. And when David O'Leary went up to... They were sort of tolerating me because I was on Ireland's side, right? And he went up to take the penalty. And they went, he better fucking score this, like that. And I was going, don't worry, Dave's going to score this. He went in. It was like Arsenal scoring. David O'Leary scoring that penalty. It was brilliant.
You didn't quite feel that in this World Cup, though, did you? I mean, like, if Fabregas had scored for Spain, you wouldn't have gone, that was like O'Leary scoring.
No,
you wouldn't, would you?
I don't think you would. I would have done. I said, great when Benton scored for Denmark. Absolutely.
No, not Bentner.
But the chance of that, then, was like, there's Bentner, more chance than Ashcraft.
Celebrate Bentner, a really poor quality player, right? Yeah. Scoring a goal. And someone like Fabregas, who's a fantastic player, the Arsenal captain, and you wouldn't celebrate that.
Didn't Bentner score two goals in the World Cup, Dave?
Did Bentner score in the World Cup?
Yeah.
How many goals?
Two.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it came in off his arse. It was a bit.
I wasn't on with you.
Well, he got his missus pregnant as well, hasn't he? Presumably, he put three on her tits, five on her face, and then eventually got there with the 11th one.
Tumbleweed was going across the little.
Very quickly, just to say, after the 1994 World Cup, there were two Arsenal players I reached, Stefan Schwarz and Eddie McGoldrick. After the 1998 World Cup, we had five. Patrick Vieira.
McGoldrick was in the World
the Cup. The 1994 World Cup playing for Ireland.
Oh my God, that is so bad that McGoldrick actually got a World Cup.
1998, there were five. Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Petit, Tony Adams, David Seaman and Nelson Vivas.
But these players were Arsenal players before the World Cup, though.
Yeah, but they also played for Arsenal the season after.
Right, okay.
After the 2002 World Cup, we had four. Gilberto, David Seaman, Patrick Vieira and Sol Campbell. And apparently after the 2006 World Cup, we had 17 players at Arsenal the following season who played in that World Cup.
And the point is...
We're just trying to mix it up. 155 from Joe Goldstone.
The original idea of that was that we wouldn't have enough chat from you boys to fill the podcast, so you were going to reminisce about those seasons.
Yeah, we're doing that now.
Can I just say, listeners, Kevin is sitting here in a rather fetching pink tutu and pink bra and panties. He doesn't sound like it, but... I wish you were here.
Joe Bullfield, come back. There was no World Cup remissing.
How dare you? Be careful what you wish for, my son. Be careful what you wish for. Right, okay. As things are now, and to finish up, who do you think will win the title and where do you expect Arsenal to finish? Mark Ollington.
Before I answer that, do we think David was a good host today, standing in, Steve?
Do you know what? I've actually felt humbled. I thought he was a great host.
Fucking hell.
Humbled.
He had an Alan Partridge moment at one point.
And then another point,
I thought he was vying for a job on Match of the Day. He's going for Gary Lineker's job, isn't he?
But overall, well, a good score, 8 out of 10, we give him.
I'll give him an eight.
Do you know what? You could do worse.
Production companies around the country, are you listening?
Yeah, but they don't listen to the Arsenal podcast, trust me.
That's true, they're all Tottenham fans. It's the media.
Exactly.
But no, Dave, you've done all right tonight, mate.
Eight and a half, which is a famous Fellini film.
Yeah, you've done really well.
Absolutely.
What was the question, Dave?
The question is, as things are now, i.e. not anticipating any further signings, based on those players we have and who our opposition have, who do you think will win the title and where do you expect Arsenal to finish?
Shall I answer first? I think Chelsea will win the league again. And I think we will come seventh.
Seventh?
Fuck off.
Seventh?
Traitor.
Who are the six teams going to finish above us?
Chelsea.
One.
Man United.
Second.
Man City.
Third.
Tottenham.
Fuck no!
Yes. I agree.
If we sign no more players, I'm expecting us to sign more players.
That's fair enough. Right. Okay, no, he's answering the question.
More Liverpool.
Fifth.
And
not Villa.
We're not going to finish below Villa.
We need to sign two, three more players to get in top four.
Absolutely.
If we sign a brand new keeper, another centre back,
and a decent midfielder, we would come top four easy.
Yeah.
But we cannot rest on our laurels, the players we got now.
Absolutely.
I expect Wenger to make those signings. I'll make it very clear to you listeners there, I expect Wenger to make those signings, and it won't happen.
Well, that's Steve. Oh, right, Steve Ashford.
Mark and I, we agree totally. I agree with everything Mark said.
Bloody hell.
I expect us to finish sixth or seventh, but I don't expect Wenger to make the signings, so I think we will finish sixth or seventh.
Basti, please, surely a voice of reason amidst the doom.
Yes, I have a little more faith than my colleagues here.
We're going to finish fifth.
No. I believe, and I've said this every season for the last five seasons, well, not necessarily on the podcast.
Now, Basti, the question was, as the team is now.
Basti,
the question was...
I don't give a shit what the question was. I live in the real world, and in the real world...
You don't live in the real world.
Arsenal...
You've not lived in the real world for this podcast.
All right, I haven't. I haven't, but my answer does live in the real world, although I am to be committed as soon as possible by men in white coats, but that's beside the point. The point is, will you shut up and let me fucking answer the question? Arsenal Football Club will improve on their position last year, as they have done every year since Tottenham had a runny belly against West Ham and shat themselves, right? And which they will continue to do. I will continue to pick 20 quid up off a Tottenham fan.
And all this stuff you're talking about
doesn't matter, because Arsenal will not only be top three, I'll go second or better.
I was answering the question David posed.
Fuck the question.
Who gives a shit about him?
David, mine host.
Joe Broadfoot doesn't get this shit, but he does. He gets a lot worse in fairness.
David, mine host. Throw the question back to you. Where did you get with
throwing back to you, based on the players we currently have, we finished third. We're still better than Tottenham and Manchester City. And the champions will unfortunately be Chelsea. And with that, there's just
bullshit.
There's no democracy here.
We will be there or thereabouts. The Gunners, I'll tell you why. And another thing, you may laugh, but with that kit, with the clock back up, the North Bank, the clock end, the East End, the West End.
Yeah, we've gone back.
We're going to fucking have it.
We've gone back 100% to 1986. Fantastic.
All right, okay. I'll throw this out there very quickly before we finish. In the next 3 weeks, we sign a goalkeeper. We sign a first choice international class centre half and cover in defensive midfield for Alexander. Defensive central midfield for Alexandra Song. Then where do we finish? Who's going to win the league?
Mark Wilson.
Steve Ashford.
Second.
Basti.
Champions League, Champions, FA Cup and quadruple. A whole lot.
We won't win the League Cup.
No, we don't. Only because we don't want to.
And with that, there's just time for the usual reminder that our email address is...
I was lying, actually. Not really. We'll come second or maybe win the league.
And with that...
Because that was the same answer as last time.
And with that, there's just time for the usual reminder that our email address is goonapodcast@gmail.com.
David, get the listeners to send you some emails so I can read them out next time. I like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Who's our mate who we tell the fuck off every time? Chris Angelou, wasn't Chris with a generic Greek surname?
Have we got a critic?
Yeah, he's some twat.
He complained about the songs. So
he doesn't like the songs being halfway through.
That's right, he doesn't like the beginning with it.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Anyway, Chris, if you want to write in again, our email address, and for all of you, our email address is goonapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks once again to our sponsors, goonashirts.com.
Goonashirts.com!
And Stid Village Voice! And Stid Village Voice!
Available in all good news agents around the NW3.
A very Arsenal supporting magazine.
Is it available in the post office on Regent's Park Road in Primrose Hill?
No, Primrose Hill is outside Hampstonia, which is a nation of its own.
Can I say a quick thank you, Dave? I'm on the podcast as I last run the London Marathon in April in 3 hours and 52.
3 hours and 52. That's amazing.
Well done, Mark.
I'd like to thank all the listeners out there that sponsored me. I raised lots of money. It's like a couple of grand. So thank you there, listeners. I appreciate
it. The podcast got that many listeners, they actually sponsored you.
A good few people sponsored me some money from this podcast. Thank you very much, listeners.
I'm impressed.
Thank you very much.
A quick reminder that the next paper issue of the Gooner, the first one this season, will be on sale over the Emirates Cup weekend and Arsenal's first home Premier League game against Blackpool on the 21st. You'll also be able to buy it from the Gooner shop on our very own website at online.
And you'll be able to read about all the non-new signings.
What's on the front cover?
TBD.
What's that?
He's our new African signing. He's 14. He's fresh off the boat. TV, he's a goalkeeper by trade.
TV decided. TV decided. He plays for Ghana.
Anyway, the issue will be able to purchase from our Guna shop on our very own website, onlineguna.com, from the beginning of August. We'll be back towards...
Is your own Colin coming back today? You did again for another season.
I've been trying to say goodbye for 10 fucking minutes.
Wait, can we...
Under a new name.
Can we rename...
You heard it here first, Guna's. Forward Arsenal.
Can we rename the stadium Highbury again now? Is that all right? Now we've had a bit of space, because it's got the North Bank and all that.
Emirates are sponsoring, aren't they?
No, but we can call it Highbury.
We'll
interrupt them and just say goodbye.
Get that tutu off.
We'll be back. Lardy Duff.
No, we're not doing it on this one. We'll be back towards the end of next month. Until then, I'm David Udo with my thanks to you for listening.
Why did we only say Lardy on the first one, not on the second one?
Because Kev wrote the out. Okay, right. Thank you for a lovely evening. My name's...
Come on.
My name's David Udo. This is the Guna Podcast. Thank you very much. We'll see you in August.
Udo! La-di-la-di-da, la-di-la-di-dee. All good friends and jolly good company.
Way!
Toot-toot.